So this week is Parshas Behar, and the Seder begins, Vayidab Hashem al Moshe, God spoke to Moshe Behar Sinai, Mount Sinai, Lemur, saying. And it talks about, it begins with the Shemitah, when you come to the land that I give you, and the land has to rest. V'shov soho oretz, Shabbos Lashem. And the land has to rest a Shabbos. So Rashi asks, Ma inyan Shemitah etzel ha-Sinai? How come this parsha of Shemitah, the fallow year that we work for 6 years and then the seventh year, the land has to lie fallow? So why does this begin with God spoke to Moshe on Mount Sinai? So Rashi says, just in case you think that maybe only the laws like Shabbos, like honor your father, mother, don't kill, these laws are given at Sinai, but other laws to do with the land of Israel and agriculture and stuff, these are, you know, these, it's not the same as the Ten Commandments. So the Torah tells us that these laws are also given at Sinai. Just as the Ten Commandments are given at Sinai, the whole Torah is given at Sinai. So, the Na'oz Desha, the son of Ishbitzer Rebbe, asks, why just pick on this one? You know, there are many laws in the Torah that seem remote from Sinai, which it could have mentioned them there. You know, why did it pick on this parasha, which deals with Shemitah and then Yovel, this fallow year, and then after a series of seven fallow years, 49 years, comes the 50th year, which is the Yovel, the Jubilee year. And this is how this week's parasha begins, with these two dinim. So, and this is from Sina. So this is, first of all, a big insight, something that you have to carry with you all the time. Shemitah and Yovel, the fallow year and the Jubilee year, talk about freedom. Freedom comes from Sinai. Freedom refers to the first set of commandments. You know, in the first set of commandments, it's different from the second set. You know, it's not like God took us to the mountain and said the Ten Commandments over again. But the way that they're written in the book of Exodus is different from the way that they're written in the book of Deuteronomy. There's slight differences. One of the differences is that the word "and" is inserted. Do not murder, and do not commit adultery, and do not steal. Another difference is that the word "good" appears, or the word "better" appears in the second commandments. The word "better," even though we usually translate it that good, toiv is good, but means better, and you can only have better relative to worse. The first commandment, the Torah tells us, and God gave to Moshe when he was finished speaking with him the tablets of stone, chorus, and they were carved with etzba alekim, the finger of God. So the Gemara says, charus, carved. You can read that word, charus, cherus, freedom. When the finger of God is revealed to you, then you're in freedom. What does it mean, freedom? If you're in love with someone, if you are connecting with you meet somebody, you fall in love, and it's like the melting of the boundaries of self and all those miraculous events that come, you know, like the chemical and psychological and spiritual The most difficult task doesn't even seem like a task. It seems like a gift. It doesn't matter how hard the job is that you need to do now for this person you love, or with this person you love, it doesn't even feel like a difficult task. It feels like a privilege, opportunity, it feels like an honor, it feels like a joy, it feels like an adventure. When we were given the Ten Commandments, when we were given the Torah at Sinai, every mitzvah of each of every mitzvah, we had that feeling of complete, total freedom. Everything that we were commanded to do felt like a privilege. Shabbos didn't feel, there was nothing onerous about Shabbos. There was nothing tzimtzum, there was no constriction, it wasn't a constraint or a restraint. There was nothing withholding about Shabbos. Shabbos was the 6 days of the week are finished and you enter into complete, total freedom. And the same thing is with all the mitzvahs of the Torah. They felt the same way. After we worshipped the golden calf and we were given again another set of commandments, they may be the same commandments, but our feeling's not the same. Now already it's a task. Now it's a job. Now it's toil's work. Now I have to fight with myself to do it or not to do it. Now it already became onerous. So, Bemidbar, God spoke to Moshe Bahar Sinai. It's talking about freedom. It's talking about the first commandments. And the truth is that if I want to, if I'm determined, if I bring my passion and my love and my involvement and commitment to the Torah, then I can go back to the first commandments. I can go back to the Cheirus. I can go back to freedom. And sometimes you meet somebody for whom Yiddishkeit is bechlal, it's completely devoid of, you know, that feeling of work. It's everything is a joy. Everything is a privilege and an honor to be able to do it. And when you, because there's, I guess there's that love, there's that cheshik, that passion, that connectedness. So you don't need a vav in it to connect everything. Everything is brilliant, and it's everything stands crystalline and clear and available. So the Torah then says, "Vishov soha oretz," and the land will rest. Shabbos Lashem, a Shabbos to God. Rashi says, "What does it mean, Shabbos Lashem?" Like the first Shabbos, Shabbos Bereshis. What does Rashi mean by that? And in Yovel, then when it comes to the Jubilee, after 7 times 7, it says V'kidashtem shnas hachamishim, and you have to sanctify the 50th year. And Rashi says that at the beginning of the year, based in the High Court, has to make an announcement, Hashona mekudeshes, the year is sanctified. So on Rosh Hashanah, and the head of the Beis Din would make such an announcement that this the year is sanctified. Shemitah year doesn't have to have an announcement. And there you really have a really profound difference between Shabbos, between Shemitah, and between Yovel. Yovel, the Jubilee year, requires an act on the part of Beis Din to sanctify it. Shemitah doesn't, because Shemitah is like Shabbos. Shabbos doesn't need an act of Beis Din, doesn't need the High Court to rule that Shabbos is holy. Shabbos is holy anyway. Yontev is different. Yontev requires us to sanctify it. What is Shabbos? What is Shabbos Bereshis? When God made the earth in 6 days, And then on the seventh day he rested. So that very first Shabbos is symbolic of what we didn't do, right? We didn't make the world. Adam and Chava are there in Gan Eden. They didn't make the world. It was clear to us that we'd made nothing. God made the world. And every Shabbos that I rest, I'm really restating this obvious fact. I didn't make the world. I didn't make anything. God made it. Even though I look outside and there's a road there, and somebody made the road, and somebody planted these trees, and somebody built the house that I'm in. No. Every Shabbos, I'm stating again and again, Rabbeinu Shalom, I didn't make anything. We didn't make anything. It's Shabbos Bereishis. The world is yours. God, you made it. You made me. And everything that's in the world is what you made. Even the things that look as though I made, you made, God. Then, what's Yontif? Yontif, I make. Oh, so wait a minute. Comes Shabbos, I say to Rabbi Hashem, I didn't make anything. Comes Yontif, and God says, no, you got to make it. It's not made unless you make it. These two ideas of Shabbos and Yontif, they're diametrically opposed to one another. On Shabbos, I'm saying, I did nothing. And what's on Shemitah? On Shemitah, you know, in the seventh year, if I take stuff that grew in the seventh year and I take it home to eat it, that's fine. But you know, if the animals in the field don't have anything to eat, I have to take whatever I took home. I have to put it out into the field for the animals and share it with them. On Shemitah, in the seventh fallow year, I'm really saying, I'm no better than an animal. I'm no different. I don't have more privileges. The earth is not mine. The earth is not mine, and it doesn't belong to me. And the field that's plowed there isn't my field. And the stuff that's growing in is not mine. It's a restatement of the Shabbos. It doesn't matter how much it seems or appears to be mine, to be my work, to be my produce, my product. It's not. It's yours, Rabbeinu Shalom. And then comes the Jubilee year, then comes the Yovel, and God says, no, it's all yours. I give you complete freedom. How can God give us complete freedom? Complete freedom. There's only one kind of complete freedom. And that is to be free in yourself. To be free from the Yetzirah. To be free from the imperious demands that our desires make on us. That's freedom. And that was the original idea of Chiras in the Luchos, that God gives us these tablets of stone which are carved, Be'etz Ba'alikim, with the finger of God. And that frees us. That gives us complete freedom. The Gemara says, Chiras, freedom from the Yetzirah, freedom from evil desire, freedom from death, freedom from everything. So it wasn't just that when we entered into a mitzvah, we felt completely free. But we also were not beset by the constant demands of the body, of the ego, of the spirit. Me, me, me. We were free. Why? Because it was Etzba Alekim. The Egyptians, they saw 10 miracles, they said the finger of God, right? We saw the 10 commandments, we said the finger of God. That's how obvious every commandment was to us. Like it was to the Egyptians, miraculous that, you know, the water could turn to blood. To us, we had the same feeling around every mitzvah. It was etzba elikim. Here in the Sedra, it says v'shavsa ha'aretz. It doesn't talk about the land of Canaan that I'm bringing you to, just the land. The land refers to something not just the physical land of Israel. As we'll be seeing, it talks about the person. So the Torah then goes on. And the next subject is v'chisim kru memker la'misecho. When you sell something to your friend, you sell a field, you sell something, lo'isoinu al toinu ish esach. Don't cheat, don't lie, don't defraud, don't try and get over on somebody. Al toinu ish esach. So, there's an interesting medrash, Tanchuma. After a long introduction, the Tanchuma says, V'chisim kurumim kela misecho, when you sell, do a sale with your friend, oikono miyad misecho, you're buying something, al toinu, shalaitiyu moinim zeze, don't be defrauding one another, cheating one another. Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, God says, "Sha'af ani mecharti ha'olam kulo la'Avram. I sold the whole world to Abram, v'loy ha'neisos, and I didn't defraud him. So what did Abraham do? Chozar v'hiknoisali. He gave me the world back, as it is written." Koinish Shemayim Voretz, Baruch Avram Nekel Elyon, Koinish Shemayim Voretz, blessed is Avram to the Most High God, who buys heaven and earth. The word koine can, you know, is a play on the words. So God bought the heaven and earth from Avram. Avram sold it to God because God had sold it or given it to Avram. Amosai, when did this happen? That God sold the world to Avraham. When Avraham kept all the commandments of God, Avraham kept all the mitzvahs in the Torah before the Torah was given. Omer Reb Shmuel ben Nachman, Mishum Rebbe Alexander. So Reb Shmuel ben Nachman says in the name of Rabbi Alexander, Afilu eruvei tavshilin shoma Avraham shenema ekev asher shoma Avraham avinu. As it says, soy roi soy, the Gemara says. So Avraham keeps the whole Torah, it says the statutes and the laws and the Torahs. What are the Torahs? The Torahs are the written Torah and the oral Torah. So Avraham avinu is already keeping both the written and the oral Torah before the Torah is given. And what is that? It's Erev Tavshilin. What's Erev Tavshilin? Erev Tavshilin on Yontif, I'm not allowed to make from one day of Yontif for another day. I'm not allowed to bake or cook. So what happens if the second day of Yontif is Shabbos? How am I going to prepare for Shabbos? I'm not allowed to prepare for him from Yontif for Shabbos. On Yontif, Hashiyochel chol nefesh, a person's only allowed to prepare food for that day. So the Chachamim say, what do I do? Is before Yontif begins, I begin to cook for Shabbos. I take a challah, some food, and I make a brocha, and I say, with this food that I'm making now, I'm going to allow to continue to make food for Shabbos, which means that even on Yontif I can, it's called the Eruv. Erev Tavshilin, it's an Erev of food. The Gemara talks about the reasons. There's two reasons that are given. One, so that a person should have good food, both for Yifchaleb Mona Yofa, he should have a nice meal for Shabbos, also a nice meal for Yontif. And also, the other opinion is because I want to state loudly and clearly that I'm not allowed to bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So therefore, I make this Eruv, so I've started already baking, so to speak, before Yom Tov came in. Why does it see the connection between God giving Avraham the world and Avraham keeping Erev Tavshilin? There are so many mitzvahs, so many commandments that are rabbinic or rabbinic ordinances that could have said Avraham, you know, he even wore tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. I mean, you know, if you want to find, you know, things that Avraham did, you know, that were not specifically written in the Torah. He said he kept 2 days Rosh Hashanah. What's Erev Tavshilin? So the Rebbe says, we're coming back to the same thing again. Shabbos and Yom Tov. They're contradictions. Shabbos is, Rabbeinu Shalom, I didn't do anything. Yom Tov is, God says, you did everything. So the Rebbe takes it a step further. What does it mean in the Medrash where it says that God, Kishemacharti la'Avram, when I sold Avram the world, Lo yhoinesi oisai, I didn't defraud him. What does that mean? So the Rebbe says, God says to Avram, you made the world. Remember, we were learning Sefer Yetzirah, Eile Tol De Shemayim Va'oretz Behi Bar'om. These are the chronicles of heaven and earth when they were created. And so the Gemara says, don't read it. The Medrash says, don't read it Behi Bar'om, but Avraham. The whole world is created for Avraham. So God says to Avraham, you are Koine Shemayim Va'oretz. You are the one who creates heaven and earth. Just by being who you are, you're the reason. You're not just the reason. You are the glue, the gluons holding all of the particles in creation together. That's you, Avraham Avinu. That's the meaning of God says, I give you heaven and earth. What does Avraham do? Avraham says, not true, Rabbeinu Shalom. You made me. Anything that's good about me is what you made. That is mamish what we've been talking about, right? It's Shabbos and Yom Tov. Avraham is Shemesh Shabbos. He says, Rabbeinu Shem, it's all yours. I didn't do anything. And God says, no, it's Yom Tov. So this is, the Rebbe says, this is how the Medrash takes it from this, God gives the world to Avraham and Avraham gives the world back. That's what Erev Tavshilin is. On the one hand, I've got Shabbos. Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm not responsible. You did everything. I didn't do anything. None of this is my work. The whole world is your work. Comes Yom Tov, God says, my hands are tied. Until you do everything, there's nothing's happening. There's no holiness unless you make it. Erev Tavshilin is a mixture of Shabbos and Yom Tov. It requires this cognitive dissonance. On the one hand, I don't take any credit. On the one hand, God says, you take all the credit. So what does this have to do with this pasuk? The pasuk says, Al toinu ish es ochev. The Rebbe says, what does it mean? It means like this. If somebody gives you something, somebody gives you a piece of advice. You know, the Gemara says, David HaMelech, King David, learned from Achitofel just two letters, two words. And he called him Alufi, Rabbi Alufi. He called him my master, my teacher. If somebody gives me something, and I say, Gevalt, this is amazing. This is like my whole world. This is as big as heaven and earth. If I give something to somebody, I don't have to take credit like I'm giving them the whole earth. Oh, I taught you Torah. So, psst, look, gewalt, look what you owe me. Everything. Like David HaMelech owes Achitofel to call him the Rebbe and to get up for him and to, and you know, Alufi, my general, your whatever you command. Just the opposite, the Rebbe says. That's Aino'ah. That's cheating, right? When I do something for somebody, I should say, it's nothing. If somebody does something for me, it's a gewalt. And that's really what's happening in this relationship with God. God says to Avraham Avinu, it's amazing. You mamish empowered me to create heaven and earth. And Avraham says, nothing. I didn't do anything. God, even my power to whatever it is you said, that also comes from, that was a gift from you. So they're each is belittling his own work and magnifying the contribution of the other. That is the balancing the Eruv Tavshilin of Shabbos and Yontov. On Shabbos I say, I didn't do anything, you did everything. And God says, no, Yontov, look, you made the whole Yontov. You're the Mekadesh. You're the one who sanctifies me. All my holiness comes from yours, says God. So this parasha of Kisim Kerum Memka, of selling a sale, the Torah is saying, you know, not to oppress, not to defraud, not to withhold. This is a continuation of Shmita Nyovel. This is the same theme of Shmita Nyovel that you've got. On the one hand, you've got Shabbos, so you've got the complete rest of saying, Rabbani Shlalem, yours is all the credit. And then you've got Yovel of God saying, no, you did it. Then the Rebbe says, the next parasha is Ki Yomuch Uchicha. If your friend is poor and he really doesn't have any money, and he comes to you for help. So this interesting Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash says, brings Psalm 41. Lamnatzeach mizmer David, Ashrei maskil el dol. Lucky Voil is the one who is maskil eldal. So the English translations of maskil eldal is comprehend, or somebody who pays attention to the poor, somebody who understands the poor. It's not so easy to it doesn't say ashrei merachem, lucky is the one, or happy is the one, or praiseworthy is the one who has pity or compassion or rachmonis or loving kindness. It's maskil, from the word seichel, to have sense, understanding. Maskil eldal. B'yom ro'o, on the evil day, yimalteh Hashem, God will protect this person. Hashem yishmereh, God will guard him, v'chayehu, and give him life. Yu'usha ba'aretz, he will dwell in the land, he will be happy in the land. V'al titneu b'nefesh oivav, and he will not give him into the soul of his enemies. Hashem yisodenu al erez dvoi, and God will support him on the sickbed. So there are five things here. On the evil day, God will save him, God will guard him and give him life, and he'll be happy in the earth, in the land, and he will not give him into his enemies' hands, and he will support him on the sickbed. So the Medrash says, brings this pasuk, v'chiyomuch uchicho, and if your brother will be poor, so the Medrash says, ashrei maskil eldal, happy is the one who has understanding with the poor, b'yom ro'o, on the evil day, or the day of bad, God will save him, abiyirmi b'shem reb mei omer. So there are five opinions, what does this mean? One says, shemamlech yetzah toiv al yetzah hara, this is somebody who crowns the Yetzer Toiv, the good desire, king over the Yetzer Ra, the evil desire. Isi Oima, Isi says, Zeshenois and Prusta La'oni, this is the one who gives a farthing or a penny, whatever it is, to a poor person. Rabbi Yochanan says, this is the Shekhova Meis Mitzvah, this is a person who buries a dead person, doesn't have anybody to look after him or take care of him. Rabbonon Omri, the rabbi says, Zeshem Avriach Atzmoy Min Amalchus, is somebody who helps somebody escape from the authorities. Rabbuna says, Zeshem Avaka Achoyla, this is somebody who visits the sick. So each of them brings a proof from the text that his his reading of the text is what it's talking about. The Rebbe says, why is this coming here? What does it have to do? A dal, when we're talking about dal, poor person, as opposed to oni, evyoin, all the different words that there are for poverty, kinayin hara, there's many, many words in the Torah. Dal here means somebody who's in his mind, in his own understanding, is impoverished. Maskil el dal, so then the person who's maskil is the person who helps the person of low understanding achieve understanding. So it's not talking about physical poverty or penury. It's talking about me. It's talking about somebody who, with the best will in the world, is stupid and does stupid things. So there are five levels, he says. How does a person help himself? If he sees that in spite of knowing how much trouble he's going to get into doing this stupid thing, he still does it. Ashrei Maskil El Dal is talking to us on how we help ourselves. So the first one, Reb Abba Reb Yirmiyah, in the name of Reb Meir, says, Shemamlich Yitzhe Toiv Al Yitzhar. What does it mean? Mamlich the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzahara, to make the Yetzer Tov king on the Yetzahara means simply, I say, God, I'm about to get out of bed. It's first thing in the morning. And I have a really good idea of what I'm going to be doing with the day, which I don't want to. I don't want to do. I don't want to do what I did yesterday. So you, Rabbeinu Shlomo, Master of the Universe, why, before I put my feet into my slippers and go and wash my hands, please, Rabbeinu Shlomo, take over. I surrender. Mamlich Yetzer Tov Al Yetzer Hara, the Rebbe says, that's what it means to make the king the good desire over the evil desire. I say to God, lead me by the hand. I know what I'm going to do. So, please, interrupt my life. Take over my life. Run my life. Don't let me be in charge of my life. Because when I'm in charge of my life, it's completely unmanageable. And I know what I do. I've got a history. I've got a whole lifetime. I know exactly which direction my life goes. Rabbanishka, Master of the Universe. I'm asking you, please, you be king of my life. You be the governor. So, if a person does, that's the first thing of Maskil El Dal. That each of us, you know, in some respect, we are poor, we are impoverished. And so the first thing to do, as Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yirmiyah says in the name of Rabbi Meir, is turn it over to God, basically. Turn it over. Let go, let God. Isi says, no, this is Shinoisim Prutaloni. This is somebody who gives some money to the poor. And then the Medrash says, Shemachayas Navshoy, that by giving this money to the poor, he's Machaya, the soul of the poor person. It means he doesn't give it him in a way that makes him feel bad. He gives him alms, gives him charity in a way that makes him feel like a mensch, mechay, he feels like he's alive. How do we know that? Because the verse in Psalm 41 says, because God will, Hashem yishmereu, this is verse 3, God will guard him, v'chayehu, and he will be mechay him. So if the mitzvah that he did has a reward of God is mechayeh you, God gives you like a good life, so it must mean that the mitzvah that you did was you gave somebody to be mechay. How can you give somebody charity that is mechay them? Yeah, all right, you give them $10 million for shteich, mechay. He can go and buy himself a Porsche and pay off his mortgage. But how can you give somebody a pruto? How can you give somebody a penny and be mechay them? So the answer is, how can you give yourself advice and be mechayeh yourself? How can you say something to yourself and make yourself smile? That's the trick. A pruta, it's a penny. Everybody has a penny they can give somebody else, right? We can all do things for ourselves. The question is, how do we then feel? Can I give myself advice? The Rebbe says, can I give dvorim hayotzim min alev and nechnosim leve, words that come from my heart, go to my heart in such a way, ki kol zman shelo toilet belibo yicheshek lidvarecho, if you can't kindle in the heart passion for what you're saying, the words you say are not going to have any power. Ki toira tefillah b'loy cheshek nikra meis, k'guf b'loy neshama. Because toira and tefillah, the holiest things that a person could do, if they don't have cheshek, if they don't have passion and desire, then it's like a body without, it's dead, it's like a body without soul. So Issi says, give a pruta la'oni with, in a way that's mechaya that person, that's maskil el dol. This is a pshat maskil el dol, that you give tzedakah with seichel. That you can only do with God's help. To give somebody something in such a way that even if it's a small thing, it's a tremendous help to them. It could be not much more than just a word. And then you're using seichel, which means you're connecting with the source. If I want to give myself advice, who's it coming from? Is it coming from me? I hear it myself all the time. I speak to myself all the time. I don't listen. I know who's talking to me. when I'm talking to myself and I'm filled with the divine, then I listen to myself in a different way, because everything that I say to myself fills me with joy. That's Isi. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Zeshikoyvim es mitzvah." This is somebody who buries a dead person that doesn't have anybody to take care of him. What does it mean? To bury a dead person that doesn't have any. I have to let go of my resentments. Like he says, V'usha b'aretz, and he'll be happy in the earth. So there, in the earth, not on the earth, or in the land, so. It means that God will give him a good resting place. So what could he have done to deserve a good resting place? He gave somebody else who couldn't look after himself, a dead person, a good resting place. V'usha ba'oretz, he says, if I can let go of my resentments, meaning I can bury the dead, right, that can't take care of themselves, because we're all walking around with dead things. Mes mitzvah, we're all walking around with mes mitzvah all the time. We walk around with resentments, which are things that have happened that can't be changed, that are done over and done with. I'm walking around, I'm carrying around. When am I going to bury it and walk away and give it an honorable burial and walk away? Because if I do that, if I can let go of my resentments, then ziyusha b'oretz, then I become happy in the land, in the earth. I become happy in the past. I have a acceptance. Rabbanan, the Chachamim say, the Shemavriach Atzma min Amalchus, this is somebody who helps somebody escape from the authorities. Hainu, Shetitin loy etze ech lihinotza mitirzis oilem. I have to, there's part of me that can't think because it just wants to run away. It wants to run away. It's got all its needs that it's crying out for. There's part of me that isn't capable of, hearing rational excuses or reasons why it shouldn't get its needs gratified. Part of me is like not old enough to understand. That part of me is in trouble with the authorities all the time. So I have to take care of myself. I have to take care of that part of me which is in desperate straits, in trouble with the law and the authorities, and I need to give it a way of escaping. It's mamash a kindness I can do for myself, right? Instead of leaving that part of me which is caught up and in this panicking, give me, I don't have time to listen either. If I take care and say, here, come here, I'll take care of you. V'zeh al titneu b'nefesh oivov. Rav Huna says, zeh shemavakes achayla. What does it mean, maskil el dal? What does it mean to understand the poor? This is to visit the sick. Which means, like the Medrash says, you're ready to take a little bit of the sickness away with you. When you visit the sick, if you have kavona, if you have intention to take away, I'm ready to take a little of your sickness away with me to relieve you of your sickness, I'll carry it for you. That's the real meaning of visiting the sick. Which is another way of saying that I say to that part of myself which is so rejected and dejected, and that part of myself which is running away all the time, I say to that part of myself, no, I accept you. I take you with me. I don't reject you. If I say even to that part of myself which is in trouble with the law, right? That part of myself which mom is sick. I say, no, I'm not rejecting you. That's the meaning of maskil el dal. V'zeh Hashem yisodenu al eres tvoi, God will support him and his sick bed, right? So if I am ready to take that part of myself which is really so sick and accept and not reject, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in return, then the Almighty will support me. There's interesting, just by the way, there's a medrash in the same medrash that says if there's a pasuk, Goyimul Nafshe Yesh Chesed. There's a pasuk in Mishle, there's a verse in Proverbs, it says, Malva Hashem, somebody lends to God, Chonen Dal, who has mercy, who has compassion with the poor. So the Medrash goes on and on about this verse, Malva Hashem Chonen Dal. When you have compassion with the poor, you are lending to God. So the Medrash actually goes as far as to say, Rabbi Tanchuma Amala B'Shem Reb Chiya. Rabbi Tanchuma said this in the name of Reb Chiya, Ba'aba. Reb Nachman said it in the name of Reb Yudan B'Reb Shimon. And the Rabbonan said the same thing in the name of Reb Shimon Ben Lakish. So this was a saying in the rabbinic world. Everybody knew it, and nobody exactly knew where it came from, but everybody was sure that their Rebbe had said it. Il mole mikrei kosev, unless there was a verse that actually stated this out explicitly, ef shelo imra, we wouldn't even be allowed to say such a thing, because it's such a chutzpah. Kav yochel, why? Darkoi shaloi v'lias eved lemalve. The truth is, you borrow something from somebody, you become their slave, right? You can't help it. You know, if you are indebted to somebody, your hand is on underneath, right? Your the power imbalance is like changed. If you're indebted to someone, then there's a power imbalance. They have power, whether you like it or not. It's just psychology. It's just the way that it is. It's the way the world works, right? They have power. You don't. You need them. They don't need you. So the Pasuk said, Malve Hashem Chonen Dal. When you have compassion with somebody, you are lending to God. So the everybody's saying, psst, you're lending to God? I mean, God is borrowing from you? It means that you're in a relationship, you're the dominant. You're the one with the power. When you are compassionate with somebody, you are the one with the power in the relationship to God. So, if we take, you know, what the Rebbe's Torah, that the whole maskil el dal, this whole the whole Torah here is about being with the self, you know, how do we help ourselves? In doing so, in having compassion with the self, we become the lender to God. You know, we've been learning Me'a Shiloyach. We've been learning Ishbitz Torah now for many years. Kanai and Hara, we should have a zechus, we should have the merit to continue to learn. One of the questions that comes up again and again is, are we free? Do we have a choice? Ishbitz keeps on saying, you know, we don't have a choice. Everything's preordained and everything is, God does everything. But here in this Sedra, in this Torah that we've been learning is the secret, right? On the one hand, when it comes to everything good that's in the world, I say, Rabbeinu Shlom, you do it. You did it. It's all yours. Even if I've done anything good in my life, I know that it came as a gift that you gave me. You made me good for that minute. You empowered me and you took away my Yitzhahara. You took away my evil inclination. You opened up the mitzvah for me. And I did this mitzvah and I thank you. But I know, Rabbeinu Shalem, I know that it was a gift. Like the Alexander Rebbe used to say, I know when I come up to heaven, I know that, you know, I'm in the Alexander Rebbe, right? It's going to be first class seat all the way. All these doors are going to open to me, and I'm not moving away from the throne of glory until I get God to admit one thing. I'm saying, Rabbeinu Shem, I'm not going into Gan Eden. I don't want any schar mitzvah. I don't want any reward for any of the good deeds that I've done until you admit one thing, Lord Almighty. It's a gift. Admit it. It's a gift you're giving me. I don't deserve any of it. You can make it out so whatever you want that I did this and this and this mitzvah and that kindness and this and zchus and this merit, but Rabbeinu Shem, let's face it, it's a gift. And if God's not ready to admit that, I'm not ready to take any reward. On the other hand, when it comes to the things that I do that are not good, I take responsibility. I look what I did bad. So when it comes to the good things, I give credit to God. When it comes to the not good things, I take personal responsibility. You say this is a paradox. Yeah? This is what this Sedra is all about. It's a paradox. Because if I do that, then God does the flip. God says, you know what? No, I'll take the blame for the bad things, and I'll give you credit for the good things. Because we are in this relationship of cognitive dissonance. That's what it means to be a human being, and to have faith in God is cognitive dissonance. It's not what I see. It's not the world. It's not what I see out there. I have faith that these are the things that I hold to be self-evident, in spite of the fact that they're not at all self-evident. They're not evident. The evidence points to the contrary, and I keep on insisting, no. Self-evident is that the Rabbeinu Shalom is in charge of the world all the time. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu also gives me the responsibility to be Mekadesh, to sanctify myself, to sanctify Him, to sanctify the world, to sanctify time, and to sanctify space. Either both true, because I am a descendant of Avraham Avinu, who made Erev Tavshilin. Shkoyach.